A variety of critters. That's what I'm looking for.
You were looking for critters?
The word was critter. No.
Found it.
Sorry we couldn't help you. Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 211. I've got two related questions for you today. What is one of your favorite cheat codes from your gaming history?
DK mode from GoldenEye because it looks ridiculous.
Is DK mode big head?
Big head mode, yeah.
Okay,
it's called DK mode on the N64. It's it just makes in multiplayer makes all the players' heads like 10 times their size.
Did you also throw on paintball mode when you played?
I don't remember the blood and gore and guts.
Oh, really?
No.
I always had, like, I feel like those two were the easiest ones to get, DK mode and paintball mode, yeah. And so I always had those going.
I think DK mode was the first one you unlocked.
Yeah. Kenny, what cheat codes from the 30s?
40s? Yeah, from the 30s, 40s. I was a Game Genie boy, and so...
Yeah.
I know it explains so much, right?
I had Game Shark for PlayStation. Neither.
Well, step up, Nolan. Like, you got to get good.
I don't have that
Game Genie. Game Genie, didn't you have to do lines of code pretty much to get?
You had to enter in the codes out of the little booklet, but like within the thing that you plugged in, it was pretty much magic. Anyhow, Super Mario Brothers 3, the skin that you get that's the better, like, upgraded. Raccoon skin, where you can turn into stone Tatooine. That's a whole different universe.
Puka shell?
No, it's not Puka.
I
think it's Tatooine Mario. I'm mispronouncing the
You're
title.
It's definitely not Tatooine.
Tanuki.
Nolan knows all of the words.
Tatooine.
Yeah, I was close.
Anakin Mario.
Yeah, unlocking Tanuki Mario.
Just early
but that's
without
part of the
getting
game.
The part. Yeah, but you can get it faster if you win the
cheat very easily. Yeah, you like start with it, and I think maybe keep it. I don't know. It was a persistence thing.
I didn't realize that game had cheats.
Game Genie. You
right,
can make
game
pretty
Genie.
Much any game cheat.
I didn't have cheats. I really don't know how those things work. I'm not kidding. I thought... I don't know what I thought.
It breaks into the code. It like rewrites code.
Oh.
I don't know. It really is something like that.
Okay.
Used cheat codes often. NFL Blitz, like big head and turbo mode and a huge ball, like where the football was huge. And then in NBA Jam, you could play as like Hillary Clinton or stuff like that,
That's great. I think my brain went to console just because we were playing console game this week, but also lots of classic PC stuff.
Yes. That's what I was about to say. The one that I used most or that I have most fond memories of is simply typing in the word Rosebud and then adding an exclamation point and a semicolon over and over again.
What is that for?
Neither of you?
It sounds familiar.
I don't think that was a game that I gamed or at least didn't cheat at, whatever it was.
If you played this game, you did, but I could see neither of you playing this game.
Oregon Trail?
Many people who just heard me know exactly what I'm talking about. This is the code for more money in The Sims.
I've never played a Sims game in my life. I haven't played Sim Golf either because I couldn't get it to work.
You played SimCity and you got a bad. We played it on this podcast early on. But yeah, typing in the word Rosebud and then exclamation point and semicolon over and over again gives you more simoleons. And so you would just do it over and over again.
What's that a nod to?
Rosebud. Isn't that a movie thing? But that's not a money thing. But.
Yeah, that's from Citizen Kane.
Yeah, I think that's all that it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the first question. And then second question is, why have developers, for the most part, stopped adding cheat codes to games?
I don't know, but I don't like it.
I know.
Wait, Nolan does know?
Yeah, I talk to them a lot.
All the you talk to the developers?
All of them. No, my guess is because DLC is a thing now and they can make money off of what would be like extra, extra bonusy stuff. It's like, no, let's put this in a package, make a commercial for it, and then sell it for $5.
I mean, there might be some general pessimistic truth there.
I think there's a lot of truth there. Like cosmetic stuff, outfits. Like
also, the most fun cheats are like overpowered game-breaking kinds of things. And lots of games are multiplayer now, and you can't really implement those without
But not all games are multiplayer.
No, not all, by any means, but a lot.
I think, additionally, we've during the time when cheat codes were most popular, you had less of an ability to save often. And so to give these game breaking or super powered cheats could have been for allowing someone to further advance in the game when they were renting it or borrowing it or whatever that they weren't able to do not having a save. So I thought about that. And then I also thought about, I wonder how much cheat codes were just a part of the debugging process back in the day. And then they were like left in as ways to advance the game or take advantage of the game, but were originally used to debug. I don't know. That was just a thought.
There's certainly a possibility.
I have no idea. I just know that I've always wondered, like, who was the first person to think of, let's add extra cheat code stuff in there, and how hard it is to do that.
Like let's make their heads bigger.
Yeah, like, really? We have to get a game done, guys. Like,
when we were talking to David Brevik, he was talking about how he turns on, like, God mode version of the game for his daughter to play, which isn't a thing, to my knowledge, you know.
Why would he not turn it on for us to play?
Right.
He doesn't love
us. Which I'm sure was a debugging thing, or a, like, you know. Not having to, as a programmer, you're not going to want to have to like fully play the game anytime you want to test things and all of those things. So
sure.
I think there's certainly a thought there.
I love cheat codes. I miss cheat codes. I've got a segue, but don't blink or you miss it, okay?
All right.
Willie, you join us as we pounce and hop over to the Retro Game of the Week and have a quacking good time.
The whole roster.
I will.
Bucky O'Hare.
Overview.
Bucky O'Hare is a Nintendo Entertainment System Konami title.
Konami,
based on a comic book character who, unsurprisingly, from the sound of his name, is a rabbit. In fact, he's a green rabbit. I had some flashbacks personally to Jazz Jackrabbit, but that's because we've played it and who I am. And it's a platformer, classic platformer, really in the vein of sort of Mega Man style platforming games, where your character, in this case, receives kind of upgrades, not to the character to themselves, but through unlocking your other player characters. And so Bucky is the captain of a ship. And his crew is a variety of, races? People, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Humans, animals, and robots.
Races?
Yeah, a variety of critters. That's what I'm looking for. The word.
You were looking for critters?
The word was critter. No.
Found it.
Sorry we couldn't help you.
So you've got a variety of different creatures.
Go with critters and move forward.
No, critters is crude, and I've upgraded to creature. Yeah, so you've got the green rabbit Bucky. You have a robot who's on his crew as well.
Blinky.
Who is Blinky. You have a cat, a psionic cat, whose name is Jenny. You have a duck whose name is Deadeye. I don't know why these make me laugh so much because they're so ridiculous. And then you have a human whose name, of course, is Willy.
Which I love that they added a human. That's really funny.
Yeah. I do it took too. It's great.
It took me by surprise because the rest of... Because you're in the Animiverse.
Aniverse.
Aniverse.
Right.
And so, like, it is an animal-filled universe. The bad guys, which you'll get to, are another species of creature. And so to have a human in there, I thought was fantastic.
And not because, be the main character.
Right, and not be the main character. We get our representation.
Yeah,
but I just thought it was cool. And even in the story, how Willy, the human, gets involved is cool. Like, just ends up in a parallel universe to the human one. It's just cool.
It's great. So story, you jump in immediately. Bucky's crew is in trouble. They have been captured by space toads and are being held captive on a number of different planets. Bucky has to go platform his way into setting his friends free. And as he does so, he picks up not just companionship, but also a new set of abilities to accompany him through more space trials. Eventually, he gets into a giant toad ship, a la Death Star, kind of. And he and his friends have to find a way to blow up the ship and escape unscathed.
Bucky O'Hare was first a comic book in 1984.
Of course, we're all big fans of it. We've heard of it.
Big comic book fans of Bucky O'Hare, which is not true. I haven't read a comic book of Bucky O'Hare, but it was somewhat popular because it even spawned an animated TV series in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
It only made it one season. I think there's only 13 episodes, but for whatever reason, and I guess for a lot of good reasons, with when you have animals, anthropomorphic, cool space animals, I mean, you're just going to win the hearts of many kids. And so whether it was the television show or the video game or the comic book, this was a lot of places, so much so I had the weirdest experience this week because as soon as I started playing this game and saw one of the small NES characters on the screen from the crew, I was like, hold on, I have seen that somewhere in my history before. And so I looked up this character's name and immediately through Google Images found an image of a toy that I played with and had as a kid.
What?
That's crazy.
I had the toy of Blinky as a kid.
Oh my goodness.
That's crazy.
I knew nothing of the show or the comic book, but I had the toy and it was amazing. One of my favorite toys to play with.
Oh my gosh. That's
I thought
insane.
For a second you were going to tell us that you are Willy and that you had gotten swept up into a space adventure as a kid, but your story's cool too.
I was getting a lot of Star Fox vibes from this cast, like animals in space, they talk.
The different accents and dialects and the really stereotypical animals.
Yeah.
Before we move into actually talking about the game, just straight up, which of the cast was your favorite?
Oof.
Your favorite character, your favorite to play with, it kind of just all wrapped in one. Which of the cast was your favorite? Again, you've got Bucky, the green hair. You've got Jenny, the psionic cat. You've got Deadeye, the sharpshooting duck. And you've got Willy, Blinky, the robot, and then Willy, the human.
Mine was Deadeye because Deadeye's ability, which we'll get to, was my absolute favorite thing because it's not allowed in NES platformers, and we got it.
It does seem like with Deadeye, they're just like, let's create a really cool sharpshooter character. Dude.
Just a cool character overall.
Kenny?
I was a Bucky fan. Like, I just liked the classic Green Rabbit.
Yeah.
He had good character model, was fun. Some of the others were nice supplementary characters, but he really just kind of vibed with me.
I do as well like Deadeye, but I especially, and it might have been because I had his toy as a kid, but I like the robot. I like Blinky.
It's definitely because you had his toy.
It's not only that. He's smaller than the rest. He hover. His mechanics too, I really enjoyed. And you've got to use him. Like none of the other characters
use.
Yeah,
forced.
Maybe Deadeye you have to use at one point. But Blinky is someone that you desperately need for a particular planet. So I think we go straight into gameplay. We can talk about their abilities.
Gameplay.
Yeah, so the reason that Blinky is mandatory is due to Blinky's, like, unique mechanics. So instead, like we said, Mega Man, and this game is very, very similar to Mega Man in style, like in the way that you play the game. And I think it was intentional from Konami, but instead of upgrading your Buster Gun, where you get like, I don't know, you get Fireman's like flamethrower or something, you just swap to your different character. So you almost have like a party and it's just one button. It's so nice. You just hit select and all of a sudden you're Blinky. And Blinky has unique properties, as does every character, but you can hover with Blinky, and Blinky's shots break certain blocks that no one else in the game breaks. I think that's what you're referring to when you say that you can't progress without Blinky.
Yeah. I think on the third world, you can't beat the level.
There's lots of walls that you have to bust through.
Yeah. And only Blinky's shot can do that.
Yeah.
No other characters can.
And what's also nice and fun is that where Bucky's Buster shot, so he's got a pea shooter, very similar to Mega Man, and it's like a straight shot. And his other ability is he can do a super jump. Blinky's shot is like it kind of lobs. That's a word. It lobs.
Yeah, it's an arc.
Yeah. It's an arc instead of a straight shot. And so you can get creative with how you're like aiming and hitting enemies from a distance. So, that's the whole game. Like, I'm not trying to just say that and move past it, but like the fact that you're just collecting all these different mechanics is so refreshing.
And it's like Mega Man in that you can switch between these different abilities. In this game, you're switching between the different characters, except you're not pressing start and going to a menu. You're pressing select and immediately, seamlessly, you idiots, listen to me, seamlessly moving in between characters, rapid fast.
They learned from Mega Man, I think. They saw that and, maybe that doesn't bother a lot of people, but they were like, no, let's just hit one button and then boom, you have the character.
Did you just say rabbit fast, Dustin?
Just act like I did. So here, you just said rabbit. I'll talk about the rabbit. Bucky is, he's your main character. So he's got just a straight shot, but he can charge up his special ability for a high jump. One of the things here that I guess I'm just going to throw in here is that throughout the stage, there's some various collectibles. One of them is a power up, and that is increasing your power meter. You've got 2 meters, your life, which is self-explanatory. And then you've got your power meter, and that is how much of your special ability per character that you can use, and it charges up and then you release it. Well, it can get longer and longer and longer until you've got a better ability that you are using there. With Bucky, you can charge up this high jump, which goes higher than the normal jump with its base power. But once you get that thing maxed out, Bucky can jump extremely high,
so high
to get to extremely high platforms, making the game and the progression a lot easier. So
he's
that's
a
Bucky.
Rabbit.
Yeah, Bucky. What? Right. So Bucky's got a straight shot, and he can do an extra high jump. What's another character?
Well, okay. So rabbits can jump high. It makes perfect sense.
Oh God, what?
Ducks can climb walls.
Yeah,
they can. Obviously. Webbed feet, bro. So, webbed feet. Web Spider-Man.
Let
web.
Me talk
okay.
about.
You're
that.
Right. You're right.
So climbing walls in a platformer, especially like a classic traditional platformer like this on the NES, is cheating. Like, it's so awesome that Deadeye, his ability is that you can just jump on walls and like for a second you can latch onto it and get high and navigate that way. There aren't a ton of walls in the game like that. It's a lot of just like normal platforms, but in that level in particular, or like one of the levels, you're jumping around a lot, and it was so awesome.
Well, and you can't, like you said, you can't do it for long. So it's not like it's completely
it's like
overpowered.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. All of these are pretty short. They're real like situational. Like you have to beat this one obstacle or get around this one thing or jump over this one ledge for the most part. I guess Jenny's maybe has a little bit more utility. But regardless, like these power-ups are specific things to be used in specific moments.
Yeah.
Which takes us to my boy Willie.
Your boy.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, because he's a human and so
what does
I.
he do?
So he's got a gun that can be charged. So when he charges up his extra power, it doesn't give him utility abilities. It just makes his gun shoot and do a whole bunch of extra damage.
It's Mega Man's, what is it, Mega Buster?
Charge shot.
I mean, that's exactly what it is. And it's super powerful. Base shot is even more powerful than Bucky's, but his charge gun is super nice to have.
Yeah, so like probably the least amount of utility out of all the characters, but just like straight up powerhouse kind of strong.
But that's also reality. You put a human with all of these anthropomorphic alien creatures.
He's going to be like, you want me to do what now? Jump? Yeah.
Nah. He's like, I've got a gun. That's about it.
Yeah.
And then Jenny is the cat. She has a fast moving shot, so she shoots faster than the rest. But then when you charge and use her special ability, it's kind of this hovering, what is it, like this missile kind of, this projectile?
It's one it's like a seeking missile kind of thing.
Well, and it's somewhat controllable. I think with the D-pad, you move it.
Yeah, which is, again, kind of not OP, but it's just, it's foreign because you're usually only supposed to just have a pea shooter. So
yeah,
I use Jenny quite a bit just because her model super looked good.
Especially good at clearing like bosses.
When
they don't move and you can like move the thing right over to them and it just does all kinds of damage. That thing was really strong.
Right.
She also has this weird kind of fluid style to her where she jumps and moves sort of the same as everyone, but it just almost looks like she's floating. They did the psionic, like the portrayal of kind of how her abilities work really well. The lasers and then this orb that like forms directly over her head and then goes and attacks things. I thought she was one of the coolest looking characters.
Yeah.
Well, and I thought what they did really well here, and it's got to be hard to do, is the balance, because none of these characters seemed OP to the sense of where you would want to use them nonstop. And you might have had a preferred character for sure, but there's not one in particular throughout the whole game that is, oh, once I get this person, I'm only using this person.
Yeah.
You've got Need on different levels and different stages to use different characters more often than the others.
Right. And it also didn't feel as rock, paper, scissors-y to me as some of like Mega Man does, where specific ability to beat a specific boss or whatever, which can actually be kind of fun in that game because there's the whole, you know, strategy of order and whatever. But with less characters, you don't have to worry about that here. And you just have to find the right character that fits for where you want. And except for when you need a certain ability, you have the freedom to kind of play whoever you prefer. Oh, we also forgot to mention that Deadeye's weapon shoots like a spread range.
Which makes him like, I didn't abuse him, but I did use him a lot because he's the only one with a spread missile. Now, it's not like a complete spread. It's only three bullets, missiles. Right?
Yeah. It's only three.
It's only three, so it's not a shotgun or anything like that, but it is nice for clearing out maybe more like waves of enemies or angled enemies.
So, Kenny, while we're on that topic of making a Mega Man reference or comparison, there are two things here that I would like to draw the comparison and talk about. So, the first one, you can shoot down in this game. And
with Bucky,
you can jump in midair, shoot up and shoot down. And it's like, why couldn't Mega Man do that? The game would be so crazy if you could. And I think that's another thing that they saw in Mega Man and were like, why just make him shoot down and let's make it better. And they put that in there. And I actually did use that a lot, especially on the first couple levels.
Yeah.
I was shooting down all the time.
Well, and you can also shoot up with Bucky, and that gives you a lot of control there that you don't necessarily have in other games. Since you brought up and it's been talked about, and every time I've read about this and even seen other people review this game, I hear the comparisons to Mega Man. Nolan, you've played a lot more Mega Man than either of us, but we all have experience with Mega Man. Do you see the comparisons? But I don't think it's the same in the sense of the progression. Like I don't see it the same as rock, paper, scissors, because that's not what this is. And I didn't feel that. And although you do get the level picks at the beginning, some you can't complete. So I don't know. Tell me what you think about the comparison to Mega.
Yeah, I think it's, I clearly see the comparison, and it's definitely has similarities, but it also has some key differences. So like, yes, you can choose what stage you want to go to first, but like in Mega Man, you it's advised that you do it in a certain order. And in this one, you have to get Blinky, and you could do the other ones in different orders, but it's not as like crucial. And I think along with those levels, the theme in Mega Man is very cut and paste. Like, okay, I'm on an electric stage for Electric Man, and everything is like zapping me. And this game, it's more like just elemental, like fire, water, or fire ice kind of stages. And then another thing that I think they did better than Mega Man is how, and going back to the balance thing you were talking about, Dustin, the power meter where you're charging for your special ability, whatever character you're on, is free. You don't have to collect resources, and you don't run out of a gauge or a pool of energy. You charge it, and it takes a minute to charge, but once it's charged, you use it and the power meter goes back down. That means you're always going to have access to that special move instead of having to farm for ammo. And that can be really annoying. So I loved that you could easily just use your ability whenever you wanted to.
Yeah, I 100% on the whole, like, just Mega Man topic generally, I would say clearly influenced by, but by no means a knockoff of.
Like, no, the level design's too intricate.
Yeah, they learned things from that game, obviously, some things that work and some things that don't as well, for sure. But then they made their own platformer. And again, this IP already existed. And so they, some of the things that we say even are like, you know, hey, better design, partly are better design, but partly are them just catering to the fact that you have this crew of different actual characters, not one character who's being upgraded. And so like you're actually swapping characters. And so, yeah, I'm going to agree that like lots of Mega Man references are fair, but this is a pretty unique game overall.
One of the things that I think they did take from or borrow from or learn from is the Wily stages. Yeah, you know, at the end here, after you clear the main planets, you go to this cruiser, the ship, this toad, something that you're in for the next three or four stages. And I thought it was just a super cool thing, because after you've got these four characters, they're taken from you again, or not these four, but your team, they're taken again, and you have to go rescue them from captivity on this Toad cruiser. And once you rescue them, though, before rescuing them, you have to fight them. And so after learning their abilities, you have to fight your friends that are possessed at a time or whatever, controlled, and their abilities that you grew to love and abuse yourself. Now they're abusing it against you.
So good. That's so clever. And it's like, okay, you've learned a lot. Now let's see you actually play this game. Because the game's kind of hard. I didn't use save states this week, and I beat it. But there's a password system that I abused.
Nolan is so good.
No, it's...
This game's hard.
It is hard.
Yeah.
But I died a ton, and I used that password system a lot. So I just wanted to beat it without him. It's That's a hard cool, game though. Already. But that final section is very
punishing.
Hard.
Just brutal.
It's so brutal.
Well, and one of the things that I thought that they did so well, especially with the section, but all throughout the game, is the levels are so varied, guys. It's not just platform after platform. There's some vertical scrolling stages. There's some waterfall falling stages. There's some like quick twitch decision stages. And then there's some slow play stages. Yeah. And then you've got the bosses that are varied. Everything, every stage feels so different, really challenging you to use your cast of characters to their best of their abilities.
And I love that, because it really makes it feel like a space crew. Like, we're doing this together. We need everyone's help. As opposed to like, oh, this is my favorite ability, I'm going to use it on the whole game, you know?
It did. It made you like all the characters in ways that you wouldn't, and forced you to, I don't know, stay on your toes, and it was fresh. There were, like, puzzly elements. And when we say it's variety, it's not just variety of theme. In fact, there was probably less of that than in some other games. It was There's just variety still. Of, like, play style. Like, the levels are just completely unique in their obstacles and how you think about them. There's one level where you even go right to left on the screen, and I was like, what? Like, it just feels so foreign, but they intentionally kept it fresh and mixed it up, and that's a really easy thing for platformers to not do that adds a ton of just, I don't even know, quality to the game.
Yeah. There are boss fights, and I want to talk about one of them in particular that was my favorite. I don't remember what planet it was on. I think it was the one where you rescue Deadeye, and you're in the stage, and all of a sudden this giant green ball is like gonna like smash you, and so you have to like jump on it and like run with it.
Yeah, roll with it. Yeah.
Roll with it, kind of like a side-scrolling section, but not really. And you get to the end of the game, and it's the boss. It opens up, and there's a toad inside controlling it, and it's a robot. And I was like, oh my goodness. Oh, like, they seriously just snuck that on me. It was so good.
Bosses were cool because they were different. Not only did you have to fight certain key bosses, toad-like bosses, but you, like I already mentioned, you had to fight your own crew after a while. And so all of those were different. Most of them have a weak spot or multiple weak spots you have to exploit or destroy, like different missile or gun turrets before you take out like the main battery, something along those lines.
Yeah.
But again, utilizing various team members, especially the psionic cat woman, really does some significant damage, and each of them still felt different and hard in their own right. And it was a really cool extra challenge to not only have boss battles, but to have different boss battles that weren't exploited by a particular character, but that really challenged you to use the different characters that you have at your disposal.
Oh, totally. And like, I know we've said it already, and we kind of alluded to the fact that sometimes Jenny is best for bosses, and often she was, but not exclusively. There were times you had to like jump and dodge stuff that you like wanted the rabbit. There were times that you wanted a hard hitting gun where like you needed Willian to charge that thing up if you wanted to get through it efficiently. And so even in bosses, though maybe not quite as much as in the levels, they forced you to use your whole crew, and that's super welcome. And only select button, guys. Cycle with one button.
Only select.
Aged.
I'll say it to start, and then we can see how it feels. I think this is one of the best aged games we played. One of the games that have aged best.
I can do you one better, but I won't say it.
Don't say it yet. Don't say it yet.
Good. Okay.
It's NES, boys. That's an early system. Well, it's late in the NES cycle, but it's still early.
Consider this. It did come out a year after the SNES. This game came out a year after the SNES launched. So people had moved on, I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
I want that new console, Mom. I want that Super Mario World or whatever. And they were like, Bucky O'Hare, some weird comic. I don't want that. It's unfortunate, but I think what we got was a way more advanced, like taking advantage of the full potential of the NES game than several other platforms in the category. I mean, platformers in its catalog.
And what's cool is it still feels NES to me. It doesn't make that leap in some of its characterizations to be Super Nintendo, which I like. Like, it looks and feels NES, but it looks and feels like the best NES.
Dude, honestly, to me, at times, it felt like a modern indie game where people were revisiting the NES style graphics and mechanics. I was like, it's the NES maxed out. I can't name many games that took advantage of, you know, the full graphical whatever and sound and everything.
Well, and what a week to point that out for us, just because we came off of a game that was so like loosey-goosey with the controls and so impossible to understand what was going on and like crazy to this game that is Konami. Like, it is
Konami.
Yeah, it is tight, it's responsive, your stuff makes sense. If you're getting hit by a projectile and dying, you're like, you're angry about it because this game's hard, but you also feel like, well, I saw the projectile, I should have moved. Like, it's like actual hard, hard, but not punishing, and just so crisp and together.
Well, and something we've just thrown out there, but we can take for granted, is that there's a password system.
Yes, thank you that's very huge. Much.
You couldn't do this game without it. I mean, you could, especially since they give you the unlimited continues. But
they are doing that with other games of this time, unfortunately, which is sad and ridiculous. Yeah. But with this game, they give you a password system that starts you at the planet or at the kind of location that you are. You do... I believe not like it doesn't load you with all of your upgrades that you had, but you can get those back. They put a plethora, if you would, of those on levels. So you can get those back up eventually. It does set you back a little bit, but then you've got unlimited continues. You only have a certain amount of lives, but there's a lot of life tokens throughout the stages. A lot of lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you could get 60 by the end if you're not dying a lot. And then, but even if you are, you can deplete all of your lives and then just start back at the beginning of that stage with a new continue.
It needed that. Like I was going to really knock it if it did not have something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you had to start over, it would be too grueling.
Yeah. Like Battletoads hard. Look, we've said it a little bit, but one of the best looking NES games ever, man. It's
one of the best looking Super Nintendo games and maybe Xbox and PlayStation. Yeah. Like this,
it's
I don't
so
know about all that.
Colorful and like
detailed.
Unique. It's got detail. It's got its own look and feel. It doesn't feel like a ripoff of Mega Man by any means. Like we've made many comparisons, but don't get it twisted. It's not Mega Man. Like the space theme, everything was just designed to look beautiful. Oh man.
Right. And I'm saying Mega Man looks and feels and sounds good, but this does all of its own. It's not a copycat. That you for some of those, and Kenny, you kind of mentioned it earlier, but you could either be in video gaming, you can be a carbon copy, like a complete derivative, or you can take influence from. This game did the best. It's a perfect example of taking influence from Mega Man and not just becoming a copy of Mega Man.
Right.
And then the music, it's some video games of this era, you get a good soundtrack, but it's not necessarily remarkable or something you want to continue to listen to. But there are a few, and Mark, a few NES titles that you would want to listen to the soundtrack on your own at a different time.
Mega Man being one of those.
Mega Man being one of them, absolutely. Yeah. This is another one.
Yes.
I pulled up on YouTube this week the soundtrack and listened to it because every single song is amazing.
Well, you know what's weird? You sent me that playlist before I had played the game.
Yeah.
And I listened to the whole thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I know it's kind of anecdotal, but I think it reinforces what you're saying. There's not a lot of NES games where if you're on YouTube and you know we're always researching these games and listening and looking and watching what other people have done, you type this game into YouTube and you're not going to just see walkthroughs and first plays. On the first page of results, you're going to see references to the soundtrack just because that's what people are searching for. I'm the YouTube algorithm agrees with us is what I'm saying, and this music is popular. People
it's
like
so
it.
So good, dude. Every stage just fit and you could nod your head to it.
Every planet had its theme. They're not cutscenes, but the dialogue scenes in between had their own sound, like everything. And it just sounds so, so, so good. Best of NES.
Yeah.
The two things that I think with this game that are going to be two of the things that maybe age poorly or make it difficult to play. One is that this game is difficult to get your hands on. Mm-hmm. It is to get an actual hard copy. You're going to be spending $100 or $200. It's very expensive.
That should fill you in on something.
Yeah. Something at least. and then, if you do get a copy or if you find a way to emulate it or play it, it is difficult. We've said that it is difficult. I think that it's forgiving in the sense that it layers the stages with life and one-ups and those kinds of things. But then also you've got the unlimited. So if you die on a stage, it just puts you back at the beginning of that act, not at the beginning of the entire stage. So that's helpful.
Right.
And then if you die, like I said, you can keep playing. It's unlimited. And then the password system, it just kind of puts it over the top. Yes, it's difficult, but it's forgiving.
Well, what also helps with the difficulty, it's not Mega Man hard because you're not taking as much damage overall. Like, you can take way more hits than you can in Mega Man.
And it's not there's not as many chances to fall to instant death, I think, here.
A big, big point right there. It's forgiving in the sense that you can fall, take damage. It's not going to like permanently kill you or immediately kill you. There are some sections that do, but I don't know. It's definitely hard, though. It's NES hard. It's not Mega Man hard.
I think that's a great summary. Very hard, but gives you the tools to do it and makes it fun enough along the way that it feels challenging, not punishing.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. I always want to go first. I'm going to go first. because this game was a first for me. And I think both of you know it. I really don't know because I only talk to Kenny once a week. But I beat this game the day we recorded our previous episode.
Yep. Like, only, yeah, and it was not like midnight or anything either.
And I didn't have all the time in the world, guys. That's been a busy week.
That never happened.
The day we discovered what the game was, I got the game to be able to play it, and I had a few minutes, so I was going to boot it up and see. And I booted it up and saw, and it was not okay in the way that it messed me up and enraptured me, got my attention. I fell in love, and there's many things that I fell in love, and then near the end, you're flying in this kind of like side-scrolling ship stage. And the toads, as you're trying to escape, can jump up, latch onto your ship, and try to pull you down. Yeah. And if two or three get on, then they destroy your ship. Those kinds of details and fun puts it over the top. This game has so much character. I will say this. It is hands down one of the best NES titles ever. And it deserves to be among the great NES platformers like Metroid, Blaster Master, Mega Man, and Contra. It really deserves to be up there. It didn't, probably in part because it was at the end of the NES life cycle, and so I hadn't heard of it as much as some of these others, but this is better than some of those, maybe even better than most of those. This is one of the best retro video games of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, you want to go next, Kenny?
Sure. I'll just take the edge off of it slightly. Dustin's not wrong. I assume that was New Game Plus status. You never said it, but I'm going to infer.
I don't like it.
It was too good. I hate it. No, I'll fully agree it's New Game Plus status. That's not a surprise. I definitely am not as good at platformers, especially as Nolan, and am more apt to frustration in my old age, at least as you guys say. And so I had moments where the difficulty was challenging for me, and some people aren't going to like even NES hard as a game, even if it's not Mega Man hard, to steal Nolan's quote. So people got to know what they're getting into, but unlimited continues or save states or passwords, take your pick. And then it's such a good game on top of that, that it's worth dying and playing it again and dying and playing it again. And then dying some more and hating yourself, but finally beating it and loving it. Yeah, New Game Plus for sure.
I thought I would be a little too dramatic if I said it's the best NES game of all time, but Dustin said it for me. I was really, really shocked this week. I didn't expect a game like this in the slightest. When I heard Mega Man clone, or not clone, but just like it's been compared to Mega Man, I was like, yeah, okay. I don't care about comics. I don't care about this comic, but absolutely blown away. Dustin already said everything I wanted to say. The level design is one of the most impressive things on the NES that I've ever seen. It's not just simply go right and dodge and pea shoot. There's actually like some puzzle solving at times and trial and error. And yeah, I really felt like I was playing with my crew. Like I was exploring the cast of characters, and they each had their own personalities and abilities, and everyone has to play this game. It's one of the best on the console. It's so good.
I think for sure the quality of game versus amount of recognition that it has, this is probably the biggest disparity. Unless this game is popular and I'm just not aware of it, which is a possibility. Like I'm not like super professional in that scene, but like I feel like it's a little bit of a sleeper and is so good. So expectations going in versus quality of game, I think this is for sure the biggest gap we've had. I can't quite get up there to saying it's the best game on the NES because there's some really, really good NES games. But I'll easily give it top 10 and say it probably competes for top 5.
Oh, man. It's so good.
And that's from the one of us that liked it the least, I think.
Bucky O'Hare is, of course, New Game Plus certified. And please go play it. Find out about it. I don't know why it didn't get the love or recognition that it deserves, but it needs to be on the lists, and it's not on enough lists.
I usually get upset with how expensive some retro games are online, but this one, I mean, it's ridiculously expensive, but for a reason. It's one you want to own if you're a collector. It's amazing.
Yeah. What did you think? 16-Bit Dad wrote in and said, this was definitely a game I could not miss giving my commentary on. After all, I adore the cartoon. All 13 episodes of it. Having never had an NES growing up, I didn't play this as a kid. However, going into it now, I can definitely see the Mega Man influence. Immediately, you are given a choice of worlds to play in any order. On top of that, you get upgrades at the end of each one that is designed to help in a specific other world. As such, there is actually a preferred path to take through the worlds. The game also has a sense of challenge. There were a few times where I made a definite mistake, such as knocking a boulder into a lava pit, meaning I had to ignore certain platforms. The environmental threats are also pretty numerous, but thankfully the switching between characters was seamless. This is definitely one I will be coming back to.
Yep. Agree.
We mentioned it, but guys, select, and it switches over.
Yeah, and there's no morphing animation. It's just boom, right. Here you are.
Mega Man did that in later iterations, I believe. But yes. I think that was Super Nintendo, yes. like with Mega Man 7, maybe even. Or, yeah. Or 8.
Yeah, Mega later. Man knocking off Bucky O'Hare.
Astral Soul wrote in and said, just like Ninja Turtles, I watched the show, read the comics, and had most of the action figures. Hey, me too. Or at least one.
Blinky. Yeah, one.
Only Bucky wasn't nearly as successful a franchise. As I've grown, I've largely forgotten about it. But the one piece of Bucky O'Hare media that has never left my mind since the early 90s was the NES game. This game rocks. I can still hear the music in my head years and years later, despite only having played it a few times in my life. Replaying it this week felt like revisiting an old friend I haven't seen since elementary school, and that we picked up right where we left off. Whenever I have fond memories of a game I haven't played since childhood, I often hesitate to replay it in fear of finding out that the game wasn't nearly as good as I thought it was. And I am very happy to say that this game was every bit as awesome as I have always thought.
Yeah. It aged like fine wine, dude. Like, how can you not enjoy it now?
Yeah.
I'll agree with the sentiment, but disagree with the analogy. I think it'd be super weird to meet some of my old friends from elementary school. Like, I don't know you.
They would love you, Kenny. The guy that you've turned into, they would love you.
they would certainly love me.
Thank you, Astral Soul 16-Bit Dad. And then we had a few more. I'll just summarize. Adam wrote in for the first time. He said, this is a sort of game that I've subscribed to NGP for. He hasn't finished the game yet, but he said, so far, this is probably the best undiscovered game I've played since I started playing alongside this podcast. Slamscape said that he beat the game, and he also didn't use save states, Nolan, just the in-game password system. He said graphics and music amazing, of course. He's surprised that he hasn't seen the soundtrack listed in any best of NES list.
Really?
It's very difficult, he talks about, but he would give it New Game Plus status. He does say barely. I do think it's crazy that this is not in best soundtracks, best video game, best
gameplay.
All of that.
Gosh.
Insane. And then Garlisle always wrote in, faithful Garlisle, for him, summarized, he said, this game's weirdly conflicted. It couldn't decide if it would emulate the NES's best with fun, fluid, fair, but tough challenges, or if it would follow the worst on the system with punishingly precise trial and error. I understand some of that. Like, it's difficult, but...
you're saying he couldn't figure out which one it was trying to be?
Yeah, he thinks that it sometimes did one, sometimes did the other.
I disagree big time. Yeah. I feel like the ability to explore the cast of characters and abilities didn't matter if it was one or the other. You just played it and I don't know.
There was some trial and error parts. There's some stuff you're not passing it the first time it comes up, no matter how quick and reactive you are. But
you've got that in Mega Man.
Exactly.
One of the things in Bucky O'Hare, I'm thinking, is there's a one stage where you're descending and these lava streams are chasing after you.
Oh yeah, I hated that.
You've got that stage in Mega Man, and you just kind of have to learn the path. It's just a part of it.
For sure, and it's. Especially this era of gaming, you see it a lot, but I think it's a fair complaint on things that make a game less enjoyable. I know you guys like this one a lot, and so, like, criticism is kind of hard to hear, but I think of the criticisms we've heard, I think that's the fairest one in my mind.
No criticisms allowed.
There's elements of grind through it.
If you ever want to criticize this game, just look at the little human companion Willie and then remind yourself that it's all worth it.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to just temporarily put aside the best NES game that ever was created, and we are going to randomly select our next retro video game that we'll play for the next 7 days. And it is... We're going to be playing a 1991 Sega Genesis title.
Nice.
It was actually originally released for the arcades in 84, but again, the one that was submitted to our Retromaster list was this 91 title. It's another platformer developed and published by Sega.
Okay.
Yeah. Sweet. It is called Flicky.
Flicky O'Hare?
Flicky O'Hare.
Flicky O'Hare.
Wait, the crazy thing is, guys, is that we're a blue bird.
Oh.
Like we're another animal that's platforming to collect other animals. This is this is the game.
Wow, that's why we keep getting repeats. Okay, so Sega tried to do another like animal main character like Sonic that didn't stick. Got it.
I don't know if that's what Flicky is, but we will find out. It doesn't look pretty, but fingers crossed.
Hey, it didn't come up, but since we pulled a game that is both on console and on the arcade, I do think it's worth pointing out that Bucky O'Hare also has an arcade counterpart.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different game than the platformer on NES, but maybe take a look at it if you're a super Bucky O'Hare fan.
Which I am, but I did look at it. It's a Ninja Turtle-esque arcade game, but it looks kind of gross. I don't know. Might be fun.
I like the Ninja Turtles.
Find a copy of Flicky for the Sega Genesis and play it along with us this week.
You can do that, or you can keep playing Bucky O'Hare. Either way, we want to talk to you. So go to Discord. Sorry. Go to ngppodcast.com and click Join Us in Discord.
Want to say a big shout out to all of our producer level supporters who are so faithful in helping us to continue making quality content. The list is numerous, but we will give a specific thanks to Antonin, Ben, Dear Baby, Corey, Maxima, Zach, Zion, our amazing director level supporter, Garlisle, and joining us for the first time as a new patron here on the New Game Plus podcast, Jonathan. Thank you guys all so much.
Welcome.
Welcome, Jonathan. You ready to watch us play Dungeons & Dragons?
No.
Are we there?
Wait,
I don't think
Jonathan,
we're there yet.
Jonathan, where are you going? Jonathan, come back. You can all follow us on our social media. That's Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. The links are in our show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Bucky O'Hare. Are y'all good with that? No one's going to correct me?
I mean, good? Nolan wanted it, and I just... Flicky, I guess.
I was going to do it anyways.
We'll also play Flicky. Until then, I'm still... Hold on. I'm still Blinky.
I'm Kenny.
I'm still wondering what Deadeye was listening to in his headphones.
And we're going to the Righteous Indignation. And this has been New Game Plus.